It's Tuesday, January 11th, and welcome to our live broadcast called This and That. And I'm your host, Pastor David Ripley. This is where I get to offer my opinions on the news headlines of the day. This and That airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. Before we get into today's stories, let me state that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Grace Christian Fellowship or Grace Christian Radio. The weather. Yes, the weather. The weather for tomorrow, January the 12th. Almost the middle of the month. I noticed Adam. Adam, welcome, yep. Adam.
Afternoon.
This evening, isn't it?
Oh, evening, sorry.
Yeah. That the days are getting longer.
They are, finally.
True. Anyway, January the 12th, tomorrow, occasional light rain and a high of 4.
It's going to be slippery out there.
But at least it's above 0.
Yep.
I'm thankful for any weather in January that's above 0.
As long as you don't live beside Goat River.
Oh, that's true. Why, if you live beside Goat River, what happens?
Flooding.
Oh, flooding.
Yeah. Okay, well. But I'm happy for it, too. Nice weather.
We want to welcome to our broadcast today Bill Dyke, a community activist from Creston. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Dave. Yep.
Good to have you today. And Bill will be interacting with us throughout the program. And then we're going to do an interview at the end. So we, again, welcome you to the show today.
Thank you.
I want to begin with news from British Columbia. News from British Columbia. And I want to talk some numbers tonight. There have been, between December 30th to January the 5th, 22,512 new confirmed cases. And of those 22,512, 82.8%, Adam, were in fully vaccinated people. 2.5% had one dose of the vaccine, and 14.6% were not vaccinated.
I mean, I'll say it again. It's not working.
I mean, if you read these stats, you have to wonder what's happening with the vaccine. And you know, when you take these numbers and kind of move them around a little bit, you know, it's eerily similar to the amount of people or the percentage of people that have been vaccinated in the province of British Columbia. Very close to, you know, 82-83%, maybe a few percentage points higher. And, you know, 14-15 16% unvaccinated. And there you have it, folks. 82.8% of the over 22,000 confirmed cases between December 30th to January 5th were fully vaccinated people. So that's something to really think about when you ask yourself the question, is the vaccine working?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it is. I've said this many times on the show that I think it's what's currently working isn't working. And I mean, the real numbers, how many people are being hospitalized right now? That's my real question. How many people are hospitalized compared to how many people have been tested?
Well,
what's that percentage?
Hospitalizations have been going up as of recent stats for today. They have been increasing. I think there's over 400 in hospitals here in British Columbia. And, you know, we pray for those people. We do. We pray for them. If they're in hospital or they're in intensive care units, we pray that God would touch them and minister to them. I guess the fact is there's so many people getting the virus, and so many of them are double vaxxed, some of them triple vaxxed, who are still getting COVID-19. And again, it just comes back to the fact that you wonder as you've been saying, program after program after program, is the vaccination, these vaccinations actually working?
I mean, here's even something crazier to think about. If we compared 3 years ago statistics of people who ended up hospitalized by the flus that happened in the winter compared to Omicron, as I say in quotes, you know, people who end up in the hospitalization, I wonder what that number looks like as a comparison. I'm just sort of curious. I don't know the number off the top of my head. I could try to find it, but I wonder if that is similar. Is it just people, normal flu season, wintertime? Is the number the same? If it is, do we have anything to worry about? Don't know.
Well, breaking news as of Friday, provinces are likely to introduce mandatory vaccination policies in the coming months to deal with surging COVID-19 caseloads. That's coming from the federal health minister, again, this past Friday. We know what's been happening in Austria. We know what they're projecting to happen in Germany, although there has been some stiff resistance to mandatory vaccines. And we wonder about what's taking place in Greece with fines and so on and so forth. But here the health minister, the federal health minister, has stepped up to the plate, as it were, and is saying that the provinces should be, or maybe they've already begun consultation, in implementing mandatory vaccination policies. That means the pressure's going to be on the unvaccinated in each and every province to get the jab. I don't know how you feel about that, Bill.
Well, I have lots of comments, but I'm just listening right now.
Okay. Adam, do you have anything to say about that?
Crazy. I mean, I think we talked about this just last show about how we see some countries starting to do this mandatory vaccination, and yeah, it's coming to our provinces. They're trying more and more, and I think it's important that people email, write, and let their members of parliament know that it isn't okay.
Well, Alberta has said that they will not revisit mandatory vaccinations. That's what Premier Kenney has said. And, you know, there's, I think Saskatchewan as well is saying they're not going to have anything to do with mandatory vaccination policies. Again, this means that the pressure will be on every single unvaccinated person to get vaccinated. And we don't know exactly what that's going to mean, although I have to tell you that the news today out of Quebec may give us some insight on how mandatory vaccinations are going to be enacted. So, you know, we have to think about that. You know, in regard to Premier Kenney and even Saskatchewan, I think it's Premier Moe, you know, these people always say that. It seems they always say that. We're not going to do this. We're not going to revisit that. We're never going to do this. We're never going to go in that direction. And the pressure mounts, and somehow they give in. Now, I know in Alberta it's a little bit different because it's part of the Health Act that they've changed to not allow mandatory vaccination. So that might be a bit of a problem.
Good.
But let's move to what's happening in Quebec, because when I heard this today, it really troubled me. When I learned what Premier François Legault said today in regard to those that are unvaccinated, this is what he said today. The province would be imposing a health tax on Quebecers who refuse to get their first dose of COVID-19 vaccine in the coming weeks. A health tax.
Well, that's similar to, where were we talking about before? What country did that before? We're talking about last week or last couple weeks.
I think
Austria and Greece, yeah.
But listen, let me go on. We're looking, he says, Premier Legault, says we're looking for a health contribution for adults who refuse to be vaccinated for non-medical reasons, Legault said at a news conference today.
Hey, if we're going here, why don't we, you know, why don't alcoholics, drug addicts?
I don't know. Legault said his government was also looking at further expanding the use of the province's vaccination passport to businesses such as hairdressers. Well, we saw what happened at the beginning of the pandemic. People's hair began to grow. It became unmanageable, such as hairdressers and other personal care services, but that he wanted to go further than that with the tax. And he's saying it's not going to be like $50 or $100. It's going to be something substantial, and it's going to be coming in the next few weeks. That's what he's saying.
That's crazy.
It's going to be happening in the next few weeks. I'm not sure if it's going to impact your 2021 tax return. It could, but it definitely will impact your 2022 tax return.
That's crazy.
And, you know, I think in some countries, I believe it's Austria, where it's a huge amount of money.
Yeah, it was like 1,300 or 1,600 American or something like that.
I mean, it's just astronomical, the amount of money that unvaccinated people are requested to pay, asked to pay, demanded to pay, just because they're unvaccinated. This is the direction that Quebec is going.
Yeah, it's scary.
And we see this being played out almost on a daily basis. You wake up in the morning and you wonder, you know, what's the news for today? Well, you know, this is quite unsettling. Can I use that word? Unsettling. When you think about the fact that just because you've chosen not to get the vaccine, then you're demonized, and it's you, you unvaccinated person, it's you is the reason why all the hospitals are filling up, nobody can get their surgeries, and of course the Prime Minister has jumped on the bandwagon more than once.
Didn't you just read that 84% of the people were double vaccinated?
True.
I love
82. I think it was 82 something.
82. That was BC, but let's say the statistics hold over in Quebec the same. So,
well, I mean, you know, when you have the Prime Minister in lockstep with the Premier of Quebec, I think I read it last week that, you know, he stated emphatically that Canadians are angry with the unvaccinated. And some other bit of news that has come from the Prime Minister that back during the election campaign, as he was going about place to place, you know, the names that he was calling unvaccinated people. You know, to me, that incites anger within people. It provides opportunity, ammunition, if I could use the word, not in a literal way, but it provides ample opportunity for people to get angry with someone who has simply chosen not to get vaccinated. I mean, there's been no, from what I've read, there's been no time in history of Canada where mandatory vaccinations have been so forced on the public. I just can't think of it.
Yeah.
Well, we can go back to Germany, World War II, so we know what happened there, and lots of information about what happened with the Jewish community in Germany, and we are the Jewish community in a roundabout way, I guess, and the unvaxxed are going to be feeling the pressure, so yeah.
Well, you know, talking about what happened in Germany during the Nazi regime, you know, Hitler did, no question about it, pick a minority to really, and that was the Jews, to really rally the rest of the country around. Justin Trudeau, I have to talk about him again. I'm sorry, Adam. I know
that's
this,
okay.
I know this makes you very sad when I have to talk about Justin Trudeau. But he's saying that Canada will have enough COVID-19 vaccines for all those eligible to receive a fourth dose if needed. He's got enough in his garage, in his backyard, that every single person in Canada, forget about two jabs, Adam, forget about the booster, now we're talking about a fourth jab. He's got enough. He's got enough. I don't know where he's getting all these vaccines from, but they're coming in caseloads, Adam.
That's why they got taxed unvaccinated. Yeah, you got to pay for it somehow, right?
Got to pay for it somehow. I don't know. You know, if one dose is not enough, then take two doses. And if two doses is not enough, take a booster. And if that's not enough, take a fourth dose. That's what's happening in Israel already as we speak. And what? A fifth dose. Maybe an annual dose. Or every 6 months you have a dose. I mean...
Yeah.
There'll be more vaccine in you than blood.
Yeah.
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 I'm being facetious. You know that.
Oh, absolutely. But, like, I still can't, like, just pulling back a little bit to the other comment, I still can't, like, fathom that, like, how don't people see this where it's like you want to find people who are unvaccinated saying that they're filling up the hospitals, but 84% of the people in BC that are getting sick are double vaccinated. So it's like... I don't know. I don't know. There's no rhyme or logic.
Okay,
no,
There's actual rhyme and logic. You have to think about who's running the world, and if they don't like you and want to bring you down and reduce the population, how would they do that? So I'm just saying. I mean, it's going to be through vaccination, right? And
well, the Great Reset is all the elitists from around the world with their vision,
right,
Adam, yeah, of a greater utopia.
The utopias, they never exist.
Mm. Well, here, how many are waiting for a bombshell?
I'm ready.
Okay, you're ready for a bombshell?
I'm holding on tight.
The Ontario government quietly dropped a bombshell on Tuesday. I think today's Tuesday.
How do you quietly drop a bombshell?
I don't know.
Okay.
Producing a new data set. You know, I feel something happening in this show tonight. I feel a flow, a release. Producing a new data set that reveals how many people were actually admitted to hospitals in the province because they were suffering for COVID-19. The number is half of what was previously reported. And the public thought, you know, this great big number, but not everyone that's in a hospital came to the hospital because they had COVID-19. Some people were coming to the hospital for another reason, another purpose.
I love it.
And then they were tested and, oh, you've got COVID-19.
I love it how, like, we can, governments and big bodies can grossly misinform the public and don't have to apologize about it or even, like, try to make amends to them saying something wrong. But if Joe, the local guy, says something wrong about somebody else, well, then he gets blown up and hated and stuff. You know, it's just crazy. It's like we misinformed the information. Sorry.
Well, you know, the mayor of Brampton brought this out a few weeks ago.
That's right, he did.
And now the province of Ontario, and I believe also the province of Saskatchewan, is doing the same thing. This data set details the percentage of COVID-19 positive patients in hospitals and ICUs for COVID-19 related reasons.
Good for the mayor of Brampton to bring it out.
And for reasons other than COVID-19. The new online reporting portal explains. The new numbers reveal that as of January 11th, only 54% of the people reportedly in hospitals for COVID-19 were actually admitted because of their battle with the virus. The rest were hospitalized for some other reason, as I said previously, but just happened to test positive for the virus upon admission as part of routine screening.
did they take the testing and just, like, one person after another stick it up their nose, giving everybody COVID down the chain?
Everyone that goes in the hospital today, from what I understand, has to be tested.
Yeah.
And some of these are asymptomatic.
Yeah.
That kind of balloons.
Yeah.
Think of a ballooning of the stats when in actuality only half of those numbers are people who came to the hospital because they had COVID-19.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It redraws a new picture of the problem, right? of,
exactly. You know, and again, it draws another picture that the hospitals are not filled up with unvaccinated people who have COVID-19. There are people in the hospital who are there for other purposes, other reasons, yeah. and they just happen to be tested, as everyone is, and they tested positive.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's something bigger than that.
Another bombshell.
Another bombshell.
We're going nuclear tonight.
Yeah, there's another bombshell that's coming. Ontario is considering forcing hospitals to rehire unvaccinated staff due to surging case numbers.
About time.
Can I say it again for those that are listening? Ontario is seriously considering forcing hospitals, oh, those poor hospitals, they're being forced to do something against their will. Oh, what shall we do? They're being forced to rehire. They're thinking about it. It's not implemented yet. The unions are not in favor of it, from what I understand. But hospitals are being forced, or the thought process has already begun, to rehire unvaccinated staff due to surging case numbers. What?
I love the wording.
Epiphany. What a revelation has come at him.
I mean, I love the twisting of the words. It's like we're forced to bring back these nurses we laid off during pandemic. Why would you lay off your people who can help people when the hospitals are getting a lot of sick people? Like, 2 and 2 make 7.
Well, you know, I feel bad for the hospitals that are feeling that force from the Ontario government. Again, this has not been implemented yet. They're just considering it. But I think it's a good idea.
I agree.
And I think the 3,300, you know, nursing staff and other individuals who help out in hospitals, those frontline workers, 3,300 that were fired in the province of British Columbia. And if I did a survey tonight, I would probably find the majority of them are still healthy and able to work.
Yeah.
Why not bring them back?
Yeah.
You know, offer an apology. Say, you know what? We messed up royally, and it's time to bring them back. I say, you know what? We need to step to the plate tonight, Adam, and we need to say, bring them back. Bring them back. Bring them back. I want to hear the people on the radio tonight. You're sitting in your living room.
Yeah.
You're sitting in your vehicle. You're sitting with a cup of coffee. I want you to put that coffee down and swallow what you got in your mouth and speak it out. Say, bring them back.
Bring them back.
That's right. Come on.
We got to bring them back. We got a little. Oh, wrong one. Bring them back.
Yes. We need a little bit of cheer. Bring them back. There. Thank you for the cheers. You know, it's just amazing how we always do this full circle.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to close off this rant by just saying one very positive thing, because that's a lot of negativity, isn't it,
Adam? Well, I think bringing them back is positive.
That is positive.
Like, they put it in a negative way. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, they worded it in a negative way. But I think it's about time that they go, oh, we messed up. Let's bring them back. Like,
Maybe they didn't. You know, a lot of these people, I know a lot of the nurses in town. And, you know, the working conditions weren't great.
Nope.
And now they're going to go back to a lot of animosity because they stuck it through. What about the people who went and got the vaccine that didn't want to get the vaccine but felt pressured by the union?
That's true.
So this is actually a bad thing all around. It was bad from the beginning, but I know lots of people want to get back to work. But
I think this is how we learn, though. I think this is where I think both nurses on both sides, those who did it that didn't want to and those that didn't do it and got laid off, I think both of them together need to look at their union, who's supposed to be there for them, and be like, you messed up.
I guess what Bill is saying, and I agree with him, that the atmosphere was already not that great.
Oh, no, it was bad.
And a lot of these nurses want to do their, you know, they want to help. They're the people who didn't get the vaccine, from what I can tell, are the best of the best. They were the ones who stood up for truth, and they were the ones that wanted to make a difference in this, at least in this community. And in the Kootenays, I met lots of people who quit, or not quit, were forced out, and they're amazing ladies and men that just wanted to do the right thing. Now they're feeling the pressure. Now, a lot of them may not even want to go back. They've started their own careers, and they're going to do it their way. And they're going to offer better health care, and they're going to be better out there than what they were doing inside four walls. So,
thank you, Bill. That's a good point. I just want to close by something totally different. There's a police officer in Minnesota who lost everything when his home burned to the ground. I got this on CBN News. A police officer in Minnesota who lost everything when his home burned to the ground discovered his Bible totally untouched by the inferno.
Wow.
His Bible, his personal Bible, the house burned to the ground, but his Bible untouched. And that tells me that the Word of God endures forever. People can laugh. They can mock the word, but the Bible's very clear that the flower fades, but God's word remains unchanging and faithful and will endure throughout all generations.
You know, the first thing I thought about that was that, like, you know, that sort of concept where your house and everything you have is just monetary value, but the word of God in the Bible is always there no matter what, right? It sticks with you. No matter what you have. I don't know, it's just sort of very symbolic where it's like the one thing to be there is a thing that will always be there for you.
Amen. Well, Bill, again, a warm welcome. I know you've already made a few comments as we've gone through the beginning of the program, but again, we just offer a warm welcome to you as you have come here to the studio tonight. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I was raised in Prince George in a mostly atheist home, and moved to Creston in 1987, and moved away from the Kootenays in 1994, and then ended up moving back to Creston in 07, 2007. Found the Lord in 1996 through a bad separation, and been trying to follow the Lord ever since, and just heed to his calling and trying to work through what he wants me to do in this crazy world, especially now. So,
do you live right in Creston or outside of Creston?
Right now I'm staying with a very good friend of mine in Lakeview, Arrow Creek. So
Arrow Creek, okay, good. What are some of your concerns with regard to the current pandemic in our country? And we've mentioned a few items tonight to give people an understanding of really what's been going on, what's happening. But from your vantage point, what are some of your concerns with regard to the current situation in our country?
Well, people who've known me since 07 when I moved back, I moved across the street from a conspiracy theorist guy who was showing me that things like 9/11 were not taken down by flaming jet fuel. And at that point in my life, I was very busy. I just moved to Creston, left a small business in Creston, or in Calgary, sorry, and had time now to kind of research some of the stuff on my own. And I had been a Christian since 96, so I'd been a Christian for 11 years, and I never really thought about conspiracies or any of that stuff. I just felt that if we follow the Lord, all things would happen. That's good. The current situation is if you work through what has happened, not just since 2001, but since probably the 1800s through the different denominations that come out of the 1800s through the Reclamation of the Church, and how we've been kind of deceived all along, I mean, right from the Garden, the thing that concerns me now most is that this deception is so strong and people are being divided on an issue. And I really, the thing that I'm seeing through all of this is that we need to try and get back to what Christ had asked us to do for one another.
Yeah.
And that's to serve one another and to love one another and to care for one another. So love will ultimately trump all of this stuff. And we just have to stay focused on what Christ wanted. And had taught us, I guess, and maybe not wanted, but had taught us to do. And so my current spidey sense is saying that this thing will not go away until it gets so bad that we start relying back on each other. And
I think that's a very good point, that this situation is causing us to put less dependence on the government and more dependence on God as believers.
Right.
And that desire, that deep inward desire to work with each other.
Right.
And that being said, thank you for bringing that up, because we have a community meeting happening on Thursday at 4:30 p.m. If you're listening by radio, I really encourage you to come to Grace Christian Fellowship on Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're going to be gathering as community members, as members of Creston and this beautiful valley, to talk together, to share together. And I think that's what you're talking about, is really coming together and saying, you know what, we need to help each other.
Right.
We need to help each other. This is a wonderful place for all of that to happen. Yeah. And all of that to take place is right here in this beautiful valley.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're not a prophet, but I had this question come up in my heart that I thought I'd ask, and maybe all of us can comment on it. Do you have any predictions as to what is going to happen next? Not in the next moment.
Ooh.
Not in the next hour. But what may happen in the weeks and months ahead? Because things are moving so fast. You know, you think, okay, that's it. Nothing new will happen. And then something just breaks. There's breaking news. So do you have any predictions? We're not saying you have to be a prophet tonight, but do you have anything in your heart that you feel that could happen in the weeks and months ahead?
I may have shared it a little bit with Sonia, our friend here. Yeah, I do. And I think it comes directly out of the Bible. And how do I start? Well, a few years ago, actually, I was reading a passage in the Bible, and Matthew 24, of course, is everybody's favorite end times prophecy passage. Of course, we read it, and we read it through a lens, how we've been taught through the pulpit, you know, and different denominations who have tried to unpack this wording. And one of the wording in there was Matthew chapter 24:15 says, "When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing in the holy place, let the reader understand," spoken of Daniel the prophet, "then you know the end is near." So we have to understand what Daniel the prophet had said as well. We also have to understand when Jesus said that "let the reader understand" is in italics, that was actually imposed on the scripture, so it wasn't their beginning. Jesus says that it's standing in the holy place, and we are the holy place, spoken of Jesus Christ. He says the Holy Spirit lives in you. We'll send you a helper. Jesus kept saying that when you get baptized, you come out a new creature. So the whole time Jesus is trying to point to the kingdom within us, which is Christ in us, that if we follow Christ, we will mimic Christ and be like Christ. This passage, though, the abomination, really bugged me a few years ago. When COVID hit, I told my friend who was there, I told him, I said, "I'm just going to sit down and put popcorn memes up on my Facebook page," right? You know, every time I seen people start bickering at one another, I just throw up the popcorn meme. Well, it just so happened that for the next week, roughly, I had nightmares. And I could say that it came from Acts, you know, that your young men and daughters will dream dreams, right? But I think it was more of an ego thing for me. You know, I had studied this stuff out so much that I thought I knew exactly how it was going to all unfold. And then I went on a trip, a little walk around to make a video. And it was the Monday morning when they decided to tape off the park. I used to live right next to the new skate park that had just opened 2 weeks earlier. When I came up around the corner, I said, wow, is the park ever desolate? And it triggered my memory of what I had asked. What is the abomination that causes desolation, Lord? And I went back to my house and I looked up that scripture again. Then I read Daniel's prophecy, because that's important. Jesus said, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. I've heard all the commentary on this over the years. I've heard and studied it out, and it never made sense to me. The abomination in Proverbs chapter 6 says that it's haughty eyes and it's a lie that leads to death, and you can read it in Psalm 6, I believe it is. So, Proverbs 6, read that through. And just about what an abomination to the Lord is. And it's all about deception and lies. So that was kind of interesting to me. The second part of that is, well, what is something that makes desolate, right? We've been looking for this Antichrist figure to set himself in the Temple Mount, King Solomon's Temple in Israel, and that we would be sitting and watching this prophetic thing happen, and they were going to get the Dome of the Rock blown up, and then they're going to set up this new kingdom, or this new temple there.
Yep.
Well, if the temple is from within, and our temple is being desolate, that seemed to trigger me a little bit there. So I'm not saying that that's a prophecy. I'm just saying that that's how I now understand that scripture to read out. So here's the prediction. Daniel's prophecy says there will be 1,290 days. That blessed are those who endure to the 1,335 days. It starts off that as the 7 weeks, and so people have been putting their interpretation of what the 7 weeks look like, which is the 3.5 and 3.5 years. But that's a little bit different. There's 3.5 years of a build to something, and then there's 3.5 years of this abomination that causes desolation. And that's when Daniel, the prophet, then says that 1,290 days are going to be really, really crazy. Those who endure to the 1,335 days. So here's my prediction. If I've read it wrong, I've read it wrong. It's just an idea. What if here's the question. What if the toilet paper scam was the lead off to the 1,290 days? If that was the truth, if that's in my mind was the trigger of the second part of the week spoken of Daniel, then we are now 1,290 days takes us roughly to September of 2023. My prediction is that we're going to see more shutdowns this year. We're going to see food shortages this year. We're going to see more chaos. We're going to see more lies like you've never seen. The time is short, right? And we read through Matthew 24. It says that had those days not been shortened, nobody would survive. I think we go from the 1,290 days to the 1,335 days. That's 45 days. So sometime after September of 2023, that we may then see those who endure. Now we really see what maybe the vaccine, you know, people are predicting that the vaccine has something to do with changing our DNA. And, you know, I've even heard people go as crazy as saying it's, you know, changing it to Nephilim and all that stuff. I don't know if I believe in any of that stuff. I'm just saying that from an outsider looking in, I think the vaccine was a bad thing, obviously. And I think it is hurting people. We've seen the vaccine injuries. So I think we're going to see more of this. I think that Satan sees that the time is short. He's going to do all he can to make sure that people get vaccinated. Our our lovely friend Bill Gates in 2010 had said that the only way to reduce population was through vaccination. And I don't even know if it's still on YouTube. You might be able to, Google that. So the end goal from all the conspiracies I've ever watched and read and studied was population control. And they want a 500 million population. And the Bible states that we're going to have that a third of mankind, a third of the fish, a third of the birds in the air are going to die. So that's what I see. I just see that we are going to experience some death, unfortunately. And I think we're seeing it now. I've had some friends pass away from, nobody wants to say COVID-related deaths, but I definitely think they're there. And people are starting to get really sick from these vaccines. So,
well, I think that, when you really open it up, when you think about the book of Revelation and you really open it up, you can see that government control, government overreach has increased.
Yeah.
And we know that the book of Revelation talks about this, that the whole world will be under the deception of the Antichrist.
Yep.
And we know that there will be control like we've never seen before.
Absolutely.
And we're beginning to see the start of that in every way, shape, and form. And I mentioned that on the program, I think last week or the week before, how every single cell phone in Canada that was open and allowable, the federal government was looking at where people were going, mm-hmm. whether they were actually staying at home mm-hmm. or not. And I know even the Conservative Party has opened up discussion about that. Mm-hmm. And so we see the government constantly, they say it's for a good reason, they say it's because we're trying to protect you, they say it's because it's your health. We're really after that to make sure everybody survives. But you know what? There's a bigger plan at play. There's a bigger scope that we don't see. There's a satanic element to all this. And I think we are seeing this control taking place even on a daily basis.
Definitely.
Our lives are monitored like never before. And that's got to be a concern for all of us, and especially as believers, we can see that these things are beginning to intensify, and the Bible talks about that. But there's good news. The Bible says, when we see these things happening, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
That's right.
So, we know that Jesus is coming soon, and we know that these things must happen. These things have to take place. The Bible talks about that.
Absolutely.
And I know there's a lot of variation as to how we look at the book of Revelation, but I think all of us can see, no matter if we're pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, whatever your flavor is out there in radio land, we all know that there's something happening on the face of the planet that we've never witnessed before in our lifetime or in anybody else's lifetime.
Right.
It's bigger, it's broader, it has the technology that, we thought, 5 years ago this could never happen. Now it can happen.
That's right.
It can take place. And this rebellion against the things of God, the things that are in the Bible, and this rejection of the Lord. And so we see these things happening. And the Bible says they have to happen.
That's right.
In order for all that God has in store to be fulfilled.
That's
and
right.
So we can see that taking place. Well, that's all the time we've got tonight. We're so happy that you have joined in, whether by internet or by radio, and we pray that you'll encourage people to listen in to This and That on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and again rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. Now, next week we have two nurses. No?
Healthcare workers.
Two healthcare workers. Thank you. That's the assistant producer. Sonia telling me that we have two healthcare workers that are going to share their stories next week, so you're not going to want to miss it. Again, I just want to remind you about the community meeting this Thursday at 4:30 p.m. right here at Grace Christian Fellowship. Well, this is Pastor David Ripley, believe it or not, signing off. Have a blessed evening.